This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Bishop Ivy Hilliard.
Let your future and faith come alive here at the Light.
Tap by smiling exercise. Look at somebody and smile real big. Show them your pearly whites, your 32s, your 22s, your 10s, whatever you got left to purchase. All right, let's raise our Bibles. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now, Lady Bridget talked about next week. I mean, on Easter is really, you know, that's probably the greatest evangelism day that the church has. People will come to church on Easter that won't go to church any other time. So we want you to be a part of the GO team. And that is inviting somebody older than you, somebody your age, and then, of course, somebody younger than you. And so I want us to really have a great time on next week. And then I want you to come very prayerful that people's hearts will be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Amen? And they will hear a message that will transform their lives. Amen? All right. Romans chapter 9, and then there it is in verse 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Go to Romans chapter 10. We have a dual text there in verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Ashamed. Now, we have a lot of scripture we're going to cover today, and I understand, of course, we always have new people here, visitors. You may not have a Bible, but we always try to put the scriptures on the screen so that you will be able to follow along with us. And so many times you'll be sitting next to a believer who has a Bible. I don't want you to be intimidated by that. Found out that many times people come to our church and get intimidated because they got people have Bibles and they can't find the scripture, you know, and that sort of thing. So don't you let that bother you. We understand that. And so the people that you see very proficient in finding scriptures, they didn't come here that way. This is over time. Amen. So many times they'll share with you. But of course, as I said, it'll be on the screen. We're dealing with a lesson on living beyond the intimidation of shame. This is our second lesson, living beyond the intimidation of shame, because the overall series that we're in is the secrets to confident living. It's the secret to living a confident life. Now, as we deal with the shame issue, whatever Jesus bore on the cross must be something that was that is devastating and traumatic to the human experience. Whatever Jesus died for must be something that is devastating to the human experience, and Jesus provided deliverance from those things. Now, on the list of those things would be sin, would be sickness, but also shame is on the list. Everybody say shame is on the list. All right, now, and you're going to be amazed as we go through scripture of how many times we see the Bible telling the believer not to be ashamed. Go with your Bibles to Psalms 31. Psalms 31 and verse 1. It is all throughout the scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, warning the believer for taking on shame and becoming ashamed. All right, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Now, I want you to hold on to this passage because this passage will have great meaning for us down the road. Let me read it again. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. All right. While we're there in Psalms, let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and 46. Psalms 119 and 46. Now, this is our second lesson, so I'll briefly cover some things that we covered last time just so we can get our minds flowing in this time of understanding this whole dynamics of shame. All right, verse 46 says, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Will not be ashamed. So we see Old Testament and New Testament scriptures talking about and warning and cautioning the believer about being ashamed. Amen. Let me give a definition for shame. Shame is the intensifying, demoralizing emotional pain caused by a consciousness of guilt, dishonor, defeat, failure, or shortcoming. It is, I'll give it to you again, it's an intensifying, demoralizing emotional pain caused by a consciousness of guilt, embarrassment, dishonor, defeat, failure, and shortcoming. And then it goes on. Watch this. Everybody say it mutates. Everybody say it mutates. All right. It mutates into thoughts of unworthiness and thoughts of disgrace. Everybody say unworthiness and disgrace. All right. Now, I told you last week that shame is the secret weapon of the devil. It's the secret weapon of Satan to talk you into the bottomless pit of despair. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16 talks about the fiery darts of the devil. Fiery darts. A dart, the fiery dart here is symbolizing thoughts, because that's where the devil shows up. He does not show up with a red suit, horns, and a pitchfork, but he shows up in the arena of your thought life to talk you into things that are outside of the plan of God. In Revelation chapter 10 and 12, it calls the devil the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of the brethren. So I've got to understand what happens when I experience a shame moment, that the devil won't let me shake it. He keeps badgering me with that episode and badgering me with that episode until I allow him to define me by the episode. All right, now, go with me. I need my graphic people to put my little raggedy picture up there again. Everybody say, there you go again. There it goes again. Yeah, put my, that's the church I used to pastor years ago. After falling from, Bridget told me, don't tell me you got put out. Well, I did get put out, but the folk didn't put me out. You understand? God put me out because I cut up on a Sunday morning. You understand? But the bottom line is I wasn't in the big, beautiful brick church anymore. I was shamed. Here I am, you know, had once pastored a nice big church, and now that's my church. And as I told you, that's the good looking side. It was, let's go inside of it so you can see where it was. And there it is on a Sunday. I got 50 chairs, but I couldn't get 50 people in there. You know, I've been preaching a long time. All of my peers have exceeded me. All of my peers have, they have great churches, and they blowing and smoking, and here I am, a failure. And this is where God comes to talk to me about forgiveness, and where God talked to me about a point I'm going to share with you today, and it really caused my deliverance. Everybody say deliverance. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Now, let's go to the next picture there, because the next picture shows now that now we start moving on up. Now, I know y'all don't like to look at that and say that was a great improvement, but to me it was. Amen. Because that old place, you couldn't fix it up. You had to move. And again, we didn't own this. But let's go to the next place, next photo. Now, that's my, I thought I'd made it when I got down. You understand? I thought I'd made it. I'm going to relate something to these pictures in just a moment, but I want to show you there. But even though I'm moving, I'm still carrying some element of shame. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because watch this. The devil kept reminding me of what happened. Kept reminding me of the church fight. Kept reminding me of things that had happened during the course of it. And the devil has a Rolodex of your shame episodes. Because everybody in the house have experienced some measure of shame. Amen, amen. You know I'm telling the truth. Although why you sitting there looking like that? No. Yeah, the devil doesn't play fair. And so all of us have done something we don't want folk ever to know about. And wish we could forget about. Amen. Amen, amen. So we talked about the scope of shame. The scope of shame, we said, comes from predatory, malicious abuse. You could have been, you know, exposed by someone, or you could be raped by someone, that sort of thing. Somebody abused you. You could be, it could be by your personal mistaken action. I mean, you just did something dumb. You dabbled where you, yeah, praise the Lord. Everybody say dabble, dabble. Yeah, don't let your dabble define you. Do I need to go a little further with your dabble? So you got into stuff, you know how you do. You dabbled. You were curious. But don't let your dabble define you. Everybody say, don't let your dabble define you. Yeah, yeah, you're not a homosexual. You just dabbled. You're not a whore. You just I don't need to go there, okay? Okay, I just move on. I just thought I'd just talk about your dabble. Don't let your dabble define you. Amen. So all of us, all of us have done some things that we don't want anybody to know about. And then there's the positional, what we call malevolent association. And that is because of your association, relationship, and that sort of thing, you can take on shame. Amen. You can take on shame because of how your children have acted. You can take on shame because of who you're associated with. And then, of course, this is a new one I didn't add last week. And that is the promised manifested assets. Now, what you mean? That means when God blesses you, if you don't watch it, you'll be ashamed. Okay, everybody got it. No, I see it all the time. Folk get blessed. And you can talk to them and say, man, that's nice. Oh, I mean, you did this whole thing. No. The world works overtime in trying to make a believer ashamed of their prosperity. You know, you got friends who say, oh, yeah, all y'all over there want is something from the Lord. That's all you want. I can't help that and read the Bible. That's right. We do want something from the Lord. We want what he promised. And when what he promised manifests, I am not going to be ashamed. Yes, indeed. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's get into today's lesson. Now, there's a difference. Watch this. Between a shame episode and being ashamed. Now, when I become ashamed, that means I have taken on the shame episode in a way that plagues me, stays with me, poisons my thinking, punishes me, I feel real bad about myself, paralyzes me. I'm not able to move forward. I just can't move on. The thing stays with me. It causes me to be paranoid to the point where I think everybody know what I know about me. It causes a perversion in my thinking because this is where spiritual warfare really takes place. Jesus. Amen. Amen. So what does it mean to be ashamed? It means that you began to condemn yourself. You began to disqualify yourself. You began to disdain yourself. You began to think a certain way about you. Watch this. That pulls you into the bottomless pit of despair. So shame. Everybody say a shame. A shame. Let me give a definition. It's the painful memory of a shame episode that torments you, tears you down, stigmatizes you, and causes toxic thoughts that demean you, devalue you, and depresses you. It causes shame-based thinking. Go to Colossians chapter 1, because today we're just going to talk about some deliverance. Amen. Now, it always gets kind of quiet when we start talking about shame, because, see, two things are happening. Number one, the devil is trying to remind you of some stuff. Yes, he is. He's only trying to remind you of some stuff, you know, because he wants you to feel bad. But instead of feeling bad, you're going to understand how to overcome. Amen, amen. Yeah, you know, we talk about abuse. Then now you can go back in your mind and find somebody who abused you. Get angry with them all over again. You follow me? And then the stigma that the devil wants to place on you is that must be something wrong with you. Yeah, because not only did that person abuse you, somebody else did. May not in the same way. So is there something wrong with you? Maybe you've been bullied. Well, why does everybody bully you? Is there something wrong with you? Can I be transparent? Okay, I was a late bloomer. I was a late bloomer. Now, what that mean was, you know, when I was in high school, I still looked like I was in elementary school. No, so all of my friends, I mean, they're maturing, but I'm not. And so, you know, when it come time to play a game, they wouldn't pick me. All right, just because of my physiology. I'm a skinny kid and I'm a late bloomer. So that was some embarrassment there. I ain't gonna go too deep in it because some of y'all ready for me to go deep, but I ain't gonna go too deep, but you understand. You follow me? You know, they got hair growing and I got peach fuzz. Got it? And of course, you know, teenagers don't play fair. Amen. You got it? And so, and you know, the girls don't play fair. I like some girls, you know. I want to talk. They want to talk to me because I look like I'm in elementary school. All right? So see, I was on the opposite end. You know, a lot of people, because, you know, they're plus size, are treated a certain way in disdain. Well, it seems to happen the same way when you're skinny. All right. But the whole thing is the devil begins to now talk about, well, why aren't you? Yeah. What's wrong with you that the girls you want to talk to won't talk to you? Hallelujah. But you know, after the boy bloomed, you wish you had to talk to me, don't you? Okay. That's all flesh. Let's move on. Colossians chapter 1. All right, watch this. Come on, y'all. Quit playing. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, talking about Jesus, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Everybody say, who hath delivered us? Yeah. So we're going to talk about this deliverance. I've already been delivered. The devil, any encroachment he has on your thought life is illegitimate and illegal. The devil has no right to encroach upon your thought life. I need you to get that. The devil, he will try, but he has no right to do so. So we want to talk about this divine deliverance from shame. Everybody say the divine deliverance. The divine deliverance. All right. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, because the scripture records over and over that God does not want his people to be ashamed, and that he's delivered them from shame and all the its demoralizing effects. So what the devil wants to do is to get you to begin to condemn yourself. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, that's the key. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get you into self-condemnation. Now, what that means, that's when you turn on you, when you start doubting yourself, and when you start doubting your worth. All right. Look at verse 21. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us, now, see, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. If my heart doesn't condemn me, I got confidence toward God. But if my heart condemns me, I won't have confidence. Do you understand that? This is important. That if my heart is condemning me, if I'm condemning myself, I cannot have confidence toward God. And that is the aim of the devil's encroachment and his exploitation of a shame incident. They want me to start condemning myself, for me to start asking questions about myself. All right? So let's look at the multifaceted devastation of shame. Shame starts with the shame episode, whatever it was. Then there's the shame emotion that I feel, that bad feeling of guilt and embarrassment. Then if it mutates even further, it becomes a shame expression. In other words, I start talking about it and myself in a negative way, even privately. And then it opens me up for shame exploitation. Everybody say exploitation. And that's when I open the door to let the devil start talking to me. And then he talks me into the shame estate or the place of being ashamed. Praise the Lord. Go up in your Bibles now and let's look now at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, when I'm in this place of shame, of being ashamed, this state, I'm in a state of being in pain. I'm in a state of being paralyzed. Can't move forward. I'm in a state of being paranoid. I think other folk think the same thing about me that I'm thinking about myself. That's why I want to take flight. That's why I want to leave. Because being ashamed causes you want to get away. But see, you take you with you. See, I've seen people who leave that church and leave, you know, other places, leave town, leave a job, thinking that somehow or another deliverance is going to come. Not so. Because you take you with you and the fight is up here. Because when you leave and go somewhere else, the devil will make sure that somebody who knows your past is there. Or know somebody who knows you who will say, oh, hallelujah, amen. Everybody say, so you can't run away, can't run away. Cause you to be in a state of being pitiful because you want somebody to feel sorry for you. It's long-term victimization. It causes you to be pimped. You allow others to take advantage of you. It causes you to be pessimistic because now you have a very negative view of life and itself. It causes you to be a perfectionist. You go overboard trying to prove that you're better than what happened. It causes you to be predatory. You begin to shame others because you've been shamed. Hurt people hurt other people. Shame people like to make other people shame. You become prideful. Amen. And passive. Everybody say passive. Now, passive is now, because I don't want to be ashamed or shamed, now I'm going to be very cautious in what I do. And I tell pastors all the time, this will keep you from obeying God. But not just with pastors, with anything else. Okay, let's go to the next picture here. Next picture here, because I want to talk about that. That's the building I was in, right? And while we were in that building, we were getting ready to build another building. Come on, show me the next thought, next thought, next thought. See, that's the little building we was getting ready to build. And because, as I told you, that old building, you couldn't fix it up. You know, we got to move. So we planning to move. And I told everybody, God told me to build this building. Couldn't get it done. Everything was going up. Oh, it was terrible. It was horrible. You know, it sounded like it was almost like the ground was cursed. Cut the grass, grew up, and right after you cut it, you understand? It just plays this. But then God said, didn't tell you to do it. And I said, okay, what I'm gonna do? He said, you're gonna tell the folk that you missed it. Of course, I told the people I missed it. Boy, and it was a victorious day in one sense because I didn't lie to the folk and tell them the Lord released me. But I told him I had missed it. And I didn't tell him I didn't want to miss it again. Let's go to the next photo. Next photo. All right. Because God had all this planned. See, he had all of this planned. Y'all had all this planned. But when I got ready to do the first building, let's go to that first building. That's when the shame attack came. The shame attack came because now the devil says, are you sure this is God? Remember? You missed it before. Now, what's he trying to do? He's trying to make a mistake in my past. Follow me and watch this intimidate me in this future. Because all of this other stuff God's got planned for me, if I can't do this one, I can't get to the next one. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that's the same thing that oh my God, I'm about to get into your business. Because you've had one failed relationship, now you can't be comfortable in any other relationship. Amen. I know I went into my marriage with Bridget. I went into my marriage and said, I ain't gonna never let no woman do me like that other woman did me. Like she was the only one that was bad. It takes two people to mess up a situation. And most time when you're in marriage, you don't know what to do anyway. By the time you learn, you've already made mistakes. Everybody ought to say amen. All right, but I'm coming in this next marriage, understand? No, that ain't gonna happen, you understand? I ain't buying another house, I ain't buying nothing. I ain't trusting her, I ain't doing nothing. Why? Because I'm carrying the shame and the pain from my past. Are y'all listening to me? So that's why a whole lot of y'all can't be happy in your marriage, and I'm not looking at you, I'm looking at the light. Because you come out of some relationship that shamed you, and you be doggone if you're gonna be ashamed again. There you go. Hallelujah. Amen. But I got past it. Everybody say, got past it. I got past it because God had equipped me to handle shame attacks. Everybody say, shame attacks. Woo, yes. Let's look at the malicious darts of the devil in Ephesians chapter 6. Boy, that boy preaching today. I'm telling you, that boy preaching today, you picked a good day to come to church. You picked a good day to look at the replay. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. Look there with me there in, Okay, let's start there in verse 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to withstand the wiles or the tricks of the devil. Now let's go to verse 16 for time's sake. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Underline that. Because the fiery darts are the thoughts. And the thoughts from the devil, I block them with the shield of faith. And faith comes by hearing, but it is released by the words of my mouth. You got to hold on to that. Everybody say, hold on to that one. All right, now, so then the temptation from the devil will not work unless I help him. James chapter 1, the temptation of shame will not work unless I help him. It's the acceptance of shame that causes you to be ashamed. Jesus. Amen, amen. Temptation is the legitimate enticement to exploit human weakness by an argument of flattery or an offer of satisfaction. Did you get that? Everybody say, he just defined temptation. Temptation is a legitimate enticement from the devil to exploit a human weakness by argument or flattery or the offer of apparent satisfaction. And there is a satanic argument to talk you into accepting a shame moment, taking the blame, watch this, and then demoralizing yourself. What I mean? By making you think something wrong with you. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. All right, James chapter 1. Are you there? All right, now look there with me in verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So I can only be tempted or fall to temptation when I participate. Watch this. So watch this. To be tempted is not the sin. But when I buy into it, then that's when the sin happens. Fear. When I sense fear, that's not the sin. But when I become afraid, now bought into it. So just because a shame episode happened, I'm not going to let that now dominate my thinking to the point where it causes me to retreat. Amen, amen. And causes me to become ashamed. Causes me, watch this, to function out of disgrace. Everybody say disgrace. Oh my God, I got to hurry. All right. So then, I won't be tempted to believe the evil report from the devil. I will not be tempted to believe that God and others have rejected and abandoned me. I will not be tempted to believe that others know my shame and think small of me. Go with me, Bibles, to Romans chapter 10 again. Romans chapter 10 again. What does shame do? The threat of shame, this threat, this temptation, what is at stake when I'm experiencing a shame attack? The devil wants to cause an alteration in my demeanor. He wants me, watch this, to act withdrawn and be pitiful. Number two, what he wants to do, he wants to alter my decision making. While I will not make decisions about my future based on him, but based on who I am. Jesus, amen, amen. Oh God. Yeah. He wants to make an alteration in my destiny. Because if he can get me with shame-based thinking and shame-based decision-making, then watch this, it will derail my destiny. Case in point, see, when I got ready to build the first building, wow, if the devil could have pulled that off on me, where I would not have gone to build that building, because what if I don't build it? What if we don't make it with all the trouble we had last time? Suppose that happens again, then my whole destiny would have been derailed. We still be, oh my God, are y'all listening to me? All right, watch this. It causes an alteration, you got to please get this one, in my defense. My defenses, everybody say my defenses. This is why people get offended. Ooh, got quiet. No. Shame causes offense. Causes people to be offended. Even if it's perceived shame. And people take on offense. And of course, when people take on offense, they flight. That's flight that's next. I leave. Amen. And it was all because you bought into the shame attack. Amen. All right. Whoo, Lord. Go with me to the Bibles now to Hebrews chapter 12. And so I must have the willingness to reject the intimidation of shame. Why? As I read you in Psalms 119, I will not be ashamed. So my will is involved. I will not. Everybody say, I will not. Now, if I will not means I'm in control, because the Bible says the believer is in control of his will. All right. So it's at the moment of attack, watch this, that I have to choose that I will not. I'm not going to let the devil talk me into the bottomless pit of despair. I'm not going to let him distort my image of what God says, who God says I am, just because I blew it. Just because somebody abused me. Just because things did not work out. I'm not going to listen to the devil and agree with him. I will not. Everybody say, I will not. Amen. All right. So if I will not, what will I do? Amen. Amen. All right. Now, why? Let's look at Jesus. Let's look at Jesus. Where did I tell you to go? Hebrews 12. Now, look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Oh my God. Oh my God. I see shame at the cross. Shame is at the cross. Jesus took shame to the cross. Jesus. Are y'all listening? And anything he took to the cross means that we are delivered from it. That's what's going to happen on Friday. Friday, we're going to demonstrate our deliverance. I know, you know, the devil will do everything he can to keep you from Friday service. And we're going to have our Friday service. We know our kids are going to be over there playing and having, but we're going to be over here taking care of business. That's some stuff we're going to have crosses lined up here. That stuff you're going to nail to the cross. You're going to leave it here. The devil's not going to torment you anymore. He's not going to worry you anymore about it, because your faith action is going to put that voice to silence. So you got a choice. Are you going to listen to the voice of shame, or are you going to listen to the voice of the Savior? Everybody say, I'm listening to the voice of the Savior. Yeah. All right. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Go to Isaiah 50. We're moving good. We're moving good. Isaiah 50. Anybody getting blessed today? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Everybody say, freedom is coming. Freedom is coming. We ain't got you free yet, but we're going to get you there. Verse 7, it says, for the Lord will help me. Therefore, I will not be confounded. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall what? I shall not be ashamed. Everybody say, I shall not be ashamed. Tell somebody next time, I'll not be ashamed. Now see, what you're saying is, I'm not going to let my past in effect bother my future. I'm not going to let the devil talk to me and define me by my past. My past has been taken care of. My mistakes have been taken care of. Yeah, are you listening to me? I'm who the word of God says I am, despite what happened in my past. I will not be ashamed. Amen. All right, watch this. While we're there in Psalms, in Isaiah 50, let's go to Isaiah 53. We're close. Isaiah 53. Woo! Hallelujah. All right, verse 4 says, surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I'm healed. Everybody say, he took it to the cross. He took it to the cross. And whatever he has taken to the cross means that I don't have to put up with it. Amen. 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 All right, let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Isaiah 61 since we're there. Isaiah 61. Hallelujah. If I can get this victory, watch this, I'm going to accelerate. Everybody say, it's time to accelerate.
Time to accelerate.
All right, watch this. Verse 6. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. This is a prophecy talking about a time to come, talking about the church, us. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory ye shall boast yourselves for your shame. ye shall have double. For the devil's attack, for him trying to keep you back, your deliverance is called, will cause you to have double. A double is it's metaphoric, not only for twice as much, but it's talking about acceleration. Whereas the devil tried to keep me back because I did not buy into the shame attack, I'm about to speed up. You're about to see things happen like you've never happened before, because I'm not buying in to the devil's lie about me. Amen. All right, for your shame, you shall have double, and for the confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall, oh my God, shall be under them. We're talking about getting happy. We're talking about trading in your depression. We're talking about trading in your depression. We're talking about trading in your doubt. We're talking about trading in your garment of heaviness. For the spirit of joy. Everybody say, that's deliverance. Okay, watch this. Now go to Hebrews chapter 9. Because this is what God taught me years ago. Oh God, hallelujah. Amen, amen. This is what he taught me. y'all here? Y'all here? You got to see this one. Because see, you can have therapy which gives relief, or ministry which gives deliverance. My thing is just get you some help. If you won't do it God's way, go on and get you some help. Sit there with your therapist. Let them talk to you if that's going to help you. But God was not waiting for a therapist to come along to provide you the freedom you need. Pastor, I would go see a therapist, but I don't have the money. Let me give you his free deliverance. Let me give you his free deliverance. Hey, glory. I'm about to close it. I got to close it. Y'all know I want to stay longer, but I can't. All right, watch this. Look there in verse 14. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience. Purge your conscience. Purge your thinking. Purge your memory of dead works to serve the living God. Everybody say, how much more? Says now, if the blood of bulls and goats, because now that's what they were offering in sacrifice in the Old Testament. But Jesus comes along as the perfect sacrifice, and he gives his blood, which is sinless blood and spotless blood. It says, if those blood of bulls and goats were used to clean up stuff in the temple, how much more in this temple will the blood of Jesus cleanse your conscience? It's the blood of Jesus was shed on Calvary. And I'm saying, I don't know why y'all make so much about the blood. Let me tell you. Because there's power in the blood. Everybody say supernatural, supernatural. So what God taught me in that little building there, he taught me now, because I was trapped in that situation. I trapped in hatred for those folk and trapped in shame. And he said, son, what I want you to do, because I couldn't remember the pain. Oh yeah, I tried to forgive them, but I remembered the pain. He said, what I want you to do is daily, just take the blood and put it on your heart. Well, how do you do that? By opening your mouth and saying, Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses my heart and cleanses my mind and cleanses. Are you listening to me? The memory remains, but the pain is gone. The memory remains. I remember what they did to me. I remember the thing that happened, but the pain, the embarrassment, the guilt is gone. And it happened because of the blood. It didn't happen because I sit in some therapist chair. It didn't happen, you know, because of mind over matter. But it happened because of the blood of Jesus. The daily, I talked about the blood. every time the thought came up, Lord, thank you for the blood. Every time I heard the voice of the devil saying you're not ever going to amount to anything, Lord, thank you for the blood. What can wash away my sin? See, that's how I'm going to close. That's how I close. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power. Oh, my God. There is power, wonder-working power, in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, I mean real power, in the blood of the Lamb. So I recommend to you today, the blood of Jesus. If you are in depression, the blood of Jesus. If you're in doubt about your future, the blood of Jesus. If you've been hearing voices from the devil, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood that washes white as snow. Let me go on and stop. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I love that old cross. Where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. At the cross. At the cross. Where I first saw the light and the burden of my shame roll away. Any delivered folk in here in the house? Any folk thankful for the blood? Anybody happy he died for your sins? Anybody happy that you're free today? Give the Lord a shout.